So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, we praise him, we worship, we adore him, and we lift up his name. You know, we are carrying on in the book of Ephesians, and yesterday we were able to look at this aspect of this prayer that Paul has been praying for the Ephesian churches and the Christians in Ephesus, and just asking God that God will grant them that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Beyond that also, he prays that God will, you know, grant them strength in the inner man, that they will be able to have Christ dwell in their hearts through faith. And we say that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. That means it goes beyond emotions, it goes beyond feelings, but it becomes a place of revelation. And revelation comes, faith comes when you hear the word of God, and it's a place of revelation that God is in you. And when you know that God is with you, then you are rooted, grounded in love, and you can understand this love of Christ, which goes beyond knowledge, surpasses any human knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then I think we're able to see that version that says, you might be filled with the richest measure of the divine presence. That means that you can, there is a place where each and every one of us can be, receive that fullness of God. Think of how Jesus came from the Father, full of grace and truth, and out of his fullness we have each received grace in place of grace, of grace in addition to grace. So there is a place of fullness. That's what we're told. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit, and do not be drunk with wine, but rather be filled. So there is a place of fullness, even till overflow. And when you are filled with the richest measure of the presence of God, then you are able to be an effective witness. You can be a carrier of the presence of God. You can take the presence of God everywhere you go. And that is the beauty of God. That is the blessing of God, that each and every one of us can go with that same experience. But, you know, of course, that also means that you cannot be a carrier of the presence of God if you have not yet given yourself fully to righteousness, to holiness, to right living, because God does not, you know, stay in the place, same place with sin. I mean, there is a place where you have to sanctify yourself. And that is why when we start today, Ephesians chapter 4, and just to always highlight that whenever Paul writes, he always has almost like three parts. He has the salutations where he greets the people. Then he gives doctrine in terms of teaching. And we've seen he's been teaching the church, trying to explain to them their position in Christ, where they're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and where God, what God has done for the church. Then after that, then he now transitions into the practicality. And this can be a pattern where you understand that, yes, as you teach doctrine, then you must also come to the place where you break it down. And what does it mean for the believers on a practical basis? What does it mean to be seated with Christ in heavenly places? You know, what does it mean for me on the earth now? What does it mean that we are made into one body, that we are united with him? So when the Bible says, I therefore, Ephesians 4 verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I just take a moment and then just break down what Paul is speaking about. He's saying that, you see, each and every one of us, there is a calling that God has called us. First of all, we are called to be with Jesus. We are called to righteousness. Beyond that means that we are, you know, when Jesus told his disciples, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The initial call is to being called out of darkness into the kingdom of his son, into the kingdom of light. When you receive that call, when you hear that call, when someone preaches the word to you, then you receive the call of salvation. But then even when you're now within salvation now, there is a call to service. And this is the place where God gives you, you know, a burden to do something in the house of God, and you are able, you know, to do something. Either you're a worshiper, or you're a cleaner, or you're an usher, hospitality, in giving. So all these are callings that God, you know, gives people, and is able to give people, those who've come to him in salvation. But then beyond that calling to service, there's also a calling to offices. And this is also what we're able to see later on, where he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So there are also calls to offices, where now you're given a specific task that is not just in like service, but also to lead the church, or to be a specific gift to the body, gift of Christ to the body. And so all these are various calls. So there's the call to salvation, call to righteousness and holiness, call to service, call to serve God, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, serve God. But then also we can see there is a call that God is calling us even to various offices. But then he says now that you understand that you have been called, are you going to walk worthy of the calling with which you were, which you have received, or which you are called? That means that he's even like using words like he's begging. I beseech you, you know that I am a prisoner of the Lord. This is what God told me. I mean, everywhere I go, chains and beatings and sufferings await me in every city. So he is in Rome. He's writing these letters, which are considered his last letters, his last epistles, and is beseeching them by the mercies of God that let them walk worthy of the calling to which you have received, which you have been called. That is to tell you that based on your calling, there are certain consecrations that God will expect of you. You know, the apostle will have a certain calling, will have a certain consecration. There are certain things that God will expect of them. The businessman will also have his own consecrations, certain expectations that God will expect of them. You know, the apostle, the preacher, the pastor, there are certain things that God will expect, not just in terms of character or holiness, but also in terms of your dedication to God. I mean, yes, you cannot say you're an evangelist or an apostle and you don't take the time to pray, you don't take the time to teach God's people to be ready to be sent, to move, you know, from place to place, releasing the word of God. That is a consecration in itself. That is a life worthy of the calling that you have received. But then you will find there are many people who God gives them the grace for healing, but then they're not ready, or they're not willing to even go out, you know, and pray for the sick. So then they are not walking worthy of the calling that they have received. Or you find someone is called to be a minister, full-time minister, but then he is doing other things. You can think of Jonah. Jonah was called to go to the people of Nineveh, but he rebelled. He chose to go elsewhere, to sail elsewhere, until God has to forcefully take him through the mouth of a fish, and he's spewed out of Nineveh. Now, the man was not living worthy of the calling that he has received. But you see, when you're living worthy of a calling, then he gives us the description. How do we live worthy of that call? He says, with all lowliness, that is humility, with all gentleness, with long suffering. This is patience. This is where we can bear with one another in love. We can be patient with those, our brothers, our sisters, those who we feel that are not either going at our speed, or they seem not to be understanding, or they seem to be going back to the world, yet they have come to Christ. Yeah, it's possible as a leader to be discouraged and, you know, to decide not to be patient or to suffer long with them. But you see, when you walk worthy of the calling to which you have received, then you know that this calling did not come from you. It did not come from your own desires or effort, but it was a stewardship that God, that Christ gave. And when we think of it as our noble cause, as something that will earn us not just earthly rewards, but eternal rewards. You know, the work that we do is not just a job. You must know that your work is what God put you on the earth to do. Your job will give you a salary, but your work will give you eternal rewards. And there is no greater blessing than when your job is your work. There are people who work, yes, but then, or there are people who do jobs, but it's not linked to purpose. They just say, I'm just doing this for the sake of food. And they have not linked the what they do, whether it's a business, whether it is a shop, whether it is employment, they have not linked it to the work of God, to what God put them on. But you see, when you find your purpose, when you understand why God brought you on the earth, then whatever you go to do in your work, in your job, becomes a delight because it is linked to your purpose. So even businesses, you know, I was reading somewhere where someone was explaining what's the difference between an entrepreneur and a Christian entrepreneur. And he was saying that the Christian entrepreneur knows that, yes, they're out to make profit, but you see, their profit is not profit for the sake of profit, but their profit is to link it to missions work, link it to kingdom soul winning. That means their focus is, their priority is not really that they will become rich, but their priority is that they can either make resources to serve the kingdom, or they can make products that will make the lives of people better, you know, such that they are touching the heart of humanity. So likewise, we too who are in various capacities, when we link our responsibilities, when we link our jobs to our purposes, then it becomes work. Then it becomes something that is important. That's why it's calling it a vocation. You know, King James puts it a vocation, of the vocation to, with which you are called. There is a calling that which we are called. And the Bible tells us there is a way to walk in it, in lowliness, in gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another with love. I tell you, love is what is the foundation of the New Testament creature, of the new creation. You bear one another in love. That means you know that not everyone is at the same level of strength as you. There is a time that you need to carry them. You need to carry those that are weak. You know, you can think of how, you know, when Jacob was meeting his brother, and his brother is like, let's go. And Jacob tells his brother, no, you go ahead. I'm taking care of the ewes and the lambs, you know, and they are weak. And if I drive them at your speed, they're going to break down. So he asks his brother to go ahead, and he comes back slowly, but then he also changes direction. That is because he understands the need to bear the failings of the weak, bear the struggles of others. You know, the encouraging of others, that you see someone, yes, is struggling. You know, they're not committed in maybe in church attendance, but you still bear with that burden, and you still encourage them, and you tell them, please, we're still waiting for you. You can still come back. Yes, that is the long suffering that God expects us, because you also know that God suffered long with you. I don't think there's anyone who was born a Christian, you know, born saved. No, each and every one went through a process where God was patient with us, where God showed his mercy. And if we express the same, if we speak out the truth of the gospel, and we express the same to our brothers and our sisters, then we are able to win them. The Bible says when you bear each other in love, then you can endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here, unity of the Spirit means the understanding that we are joined together in the Spirit. Remember, he was speaking of this mystery where the Gentiles and the Jews are brought into unity. They're united in the body of Christ, and Christ becomes our head. And this is the mystery that had been hidden but is now revealed, how Gentiles are also accepted into the beloved, into the commonwealth of Israel. And that's why he's saying, when you understand this, when you walk worthy of the calling in gentleness, in humility, in long-suffering, bearing each other in love, then you shall endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. That means you remind yourself that in the Spirit we are one body, and thus you cannot start criticizing your fellow brother or sister, because you know then that you are fighting. And it's sad today that you find it's actually Christians who fight Christians. You know, the people of the world are just watching and wondering, hey, what is all this? It's, oh, my man of God against this other man of God. Yes, I'm not saying there's something wrong with correction. Yes, when the church is in error, correction is necessary. Otherwise, many people will be deceived, yes. But you see, there is a time what comes more of competition, more of criticism, that is false accusations. Yet they forget that in the Spirit, God has called us to a unity of spirit in the bond of peace. That means there is something that binds us together, which is the bond of peace. Remember, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Glory. He is the one that can bind us. He is the one that, you know, when we worship and he hears us, he comes and dwells in the praises of his people. That's why he tells us, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One body of Christ, one spirit, the same Holy Spirit uniting all of us. You are called to one hope of your calling. What is the hope of your calling? That what God has called us to, eternal life, we are called to go after him. And remember, he is one Lord. You know, many times we forget that Christ is Lord. They that are born again are those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord means owner. Lord means in charge. You cannot say that you are born again and you are still in charge of your own life. You have to submit to the same Lord, to one Lord. He is the same guy. And that is why when you know that even you and your spouse, you are both believers, then you know you have the same Father. And the same way your father will defend you is the same way your father will also defend her. And that is why he says, I stand as a judge, you know, between you and the wife of your youth, that you have treated her, you know, you've clothed yourself with violence. You know, when you're speaking of divorce, God acts as a judge in that she too is under the same Lord. You too are under the same Lord. And the more we are obedient to the same Lord, is the same way also that we are closer to one another. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That means that we are united in the same things. These are like what are called the core value systems of the faith. Yes, we might do things differently. We might do, you know, we might start with preaching. Others will start with prayer. Others will start with worship. Some will start with praising, fast songs. Others will start with slow songs. So there are various variations to how people worship. Others prefer hymns. Others prefer dancing songs. At the end of the day, remember, we are called to oneness, called to one hope of your calling. That means we are looking to the blessed hope of Jesus coming back. One Lord, who is the one that we submit to. We are called to one faith, which is the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you know it's Christianity or the way. You know, they had various ways that they called it. They called it, these are the people of the way. You know, these are the, you know, the disciples of Jesus. These are the Christians. They had various ways that they called them. But at the end of the day, it is one faith in Christ, and then one baptism. Remember, we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When everyone goes under the water, we come out as one. And here he's not saying that there are not other baptisms. I mean, we've seen of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've seen in the baptism of John. We see the baptism of Moses. We see even, I mean, there are various baptisms that were there, but the baptism that we speak about is all of us are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this was a common pathway that every believer in that time went through, and we too are called to that. And the Bible also says, one God and Father of all. Remember, we were speaking about the Father, God who is the Father from whom every family comes from in heaven and earth derives its name. And the Bible says, one Father, God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So God is everywhere. He is above everything. He is through us, through all of us, and he is in all of us. And this is the call to walk in unity. Paul is telling the church, walk united. Walk united. You are called to oneness. There is a calling to oneness. Can we start to see each other as children of the same Father? Start to see each other as children called, loved by God. And all of us, by the grace of God, we will all go to heaven. And as we stay united, then we can stop all this bickering, stop all these infightings, stop all this cutting one another, and focus on things that matter. In fact, when you're busy doing the work of God, you have no time to look at what someone else is doing. In fact, God, Jesus is the one who himself who say that, who are you to judge another man's servant? You know, if he stands or falls before his own master, he stands and falls or falls. May God help us that those God has placed under our care, we focus on them, build them. I tell you, when you're busy building the kingdom of God, your eyes will have no time to look around. Let's do what God has placed us to do, run our race. At the end of the day, we look forward to that reward that says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with little, now I put you in charge of many cities. I gave you 5, you brought 10, now you're in charge of 10 cities. You know, I gave you 2, you brought back 2, now you're in charge of 4 cities. And unfortunately for the lazy servant, he was told, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew I harvest where I have not reaped, but you should have at least taken my money to the bankers and that it would have gotten some interest. Well, that is how he lost it. There is a call for faithfulness. There's a call for unity. There's a call to walk together in love, bearing each other. Humility, humility, humility. I tell you, the more humble you are, the more God will exalt you. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand and he will lift you up. When you are proud, God says he resists the proud. It will not be fellow men fighting you, but it will be God fighting you himself. I'll stop here and I pray that God gives us more insight into his word. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel, for that.
Yeah.
Encouragement, indeed. So divine complementarity that we are all each part of one body.
Yeah.
Blessed, of course, differently, with different talents, with different skills, and also granted different callings by destiny. But the strength in Christ is that we work together. As one body, we work together, supporting each other as a building kingdom of God. If even fallen wisdom devises that united we stand and divided before, how about Christians that, you know, we are meant to know and to live in the light?
Yeah.
How about not knowing that if we stand together as one body of Christ, we will advance the kingdom of God? So I think it's a good reminder, it's a good calling for all of us. We should be humble towards each other. We should know that we're all in one, and that is one Christ.
Yeah.
That is Christ. There is no any other. No matter how one is talented, no matter how one is gifted, no matter how one's calling seems more prosperous than the other, it is simply a part and a complement to the one another.
Yeah.
We should treat it as it is and see it as it is, as opposed to seeing it as competition or seeing it to be more favored than your position. God has a purpose as to why He gave each one of us a part to play.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any mistake in his divine selection and divine appointment on what each one of us is supposed to play in the advancement of his kingdom. He knows very well what we are capable of. He knows very well what we're designed to do in nature. I think as such, we should just embrace that and continue doing what God has called us to do. So I'll stop here, but just thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, when you even mentioned that the issue of being united and divided, it reminded me of even what Jesus said, that even Satan is not divided. Satan is united. And I was listening to something that you were saying, that even Legion, the demons, there were many, but then they were united in destroying the guy. But how about us Christians? We are not, we are fighting, biting, eating one another. Yeah, may God just help us to understand the unity of the faith and just to be united, because a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, you know. A marriage divided against itself cannot stand. An office. And when we value one another, then you'll actually see someone is right there where they need to be. You know, at times you sit in the office and you see someone speak and you see another person speak and you see this person is in the right position. This one, you can say this one is in the wrong position, but it's there is a unity that brings everything to work together. And really, it's not about competition, but when we know that everyone was given according to their ability and we will be judged according to that. May God help us to be faithful. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Thank you that you've called us to unity of faith, unity of the Spirit, called us to oneness of one body, one Spirit, one faith, one Lord, one Father, one God and Father of all. And Lord, indeed, may we walk in this unity. May we walk in this love, bearing with one another's burdens and being gentle and lowliness and humility and humbling ourselves among the believers and among ourselves and among the world, that indeed they might know that you have called us, that you have sent us, and indeed you have changed our hearts. You made us to be vessels of honor. I thank you for my brothers, my sisters who are listening, that Lord, your hand shall be upon them. Various needs that are mentioned, that you know them, that you're able to meet, God. We pray for reconciliation where there is need for reconciliation, oh God, for the broken hearts, oh God, that Lord, you show your mercy, you show your truth, you show your power, oh God. We thank you and praise you. May this day be blessed and ordered of you. Give us favor indeed in everything that we accomplish, protection on the roads until we meet again. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Indeed, shalom. Blessed, blessed day.